You're tuning in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Mandy Nguyen. Joining us today is Rasmussen Award winner, Crystal Worrell, here to tell us about her upcoming project. So thank you for joining us, Crystal.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to talk to you because we've never had a conversation before, but I've been following your art and I'm a fan. So I'm very happy to be able
to
speak
with you. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yay. So I just want to say congratulations. And before we dive into learning about your project, I'd love for you to kind of introduce yourself and tell us about yourself in whatever way feels right to you.
Absolutely. I'll just start by introducing myself how my grandma has taught me to. My Tlingit name is Kakia. My English name is Crystal Worrell. I am Tlingit on my father's side from the Hlukahadi Sakai clan. And on my mother's side, I am Athaskan Inupiaq from Fairbanks. And that's me.
That's you. Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about the project you're working on and kind of the origin story of it?
Absolutely. So I specialize in fine art painting, specifically with form line design, the local Pacific Northwest Coast style indigenous art. I just finished an apprenticeship with Haida artist Robert Davidson, and that was a two-year apprenticeship done over the past three years. So now that I'm back home full-time in Juneau, I'm kind of ready to transition into public art. And I think with current events and times and the Black Lives Matters happening, I want to see a mural or some sort of public art that's dedicated towards Indigenous and Black artists. So for the Rasmussen Award, I decided to change that. Original idea was to do skin sewing, but I'm actually going to be using the Rasmussen Award to help fund and create a mural of Elizabeth Pradovich downtown Juneau. And Elizabeth Pradovich is also Hlukahadi clan, was Hlukahadi clan. So it just seems to fall in perfectly that she's a clan member of mine, and everyone seems to be pretty on board with it. So I'm really excited. She was a Tlingit civil rights activist who worked for equality for Alaska Natives in the 1940s. She advocated and forged a way for the Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945, which also was the first anti-discrimination act or law in the United States to be passed.
And where will it be?
There is a very big wall that is screaming to be and had added some color. It's gorgeous. You can see this wall all the way down Franklin. And I'm going to use bright fluorescent colors. I'm also going to bring in another artist from Vancouver, Lauren Brevner, who specializes in portraitures and mural and public art. So we're kind of going to be collaborating because I kind of need help with the portraiture. It's not my specialty, but it's hers. And she does a lot of portraits of really incredible women of color who are warriors and leaders. That's sort of what she's known for. So I'm just thrilled.
Yeah. And you said originally the project you were going to do was skin sewing. Was there kind of like a trigger event or time where you were like, you know what, I think I'm going to do this instead?
You know what it was? 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, Pat Race, our neighbor who owns Alaska Robotics, came into Trickster Company shop. My brother and I own Trickster Company, and we're good friends with Pat Race. And Pat came in, and he had this idea of doing a mural dedicated to her. And I was like, let's do it. This is so perfect. And I was just thrilled that Pat came to work with us. I love Pat. He's wonderful.
He's great.
Pat and I have been kind of talking about it for, you know, a couple years, and we're just sort of manifesting it to happen and waiting for the right time because it was just about timing. And now is the time. Now is such an appropriate time.
Yeah, it really, really feels like it.
Yeah.
Where are you now on it? And like, kind of how has your relationship to this project changed over time? Because you said you're still kind of looking for a place, but yeah, has like, have drafts been made? Or
we have a wall that we're set on, our heart is set on.
Cool.
Everyone's pretty much excited about this project to see it happen. Lauren Brevner and her partner, James Harry, who's a Salish artist, who I also want to bring up, are on board for coming in. The mural come together and teaching workshops in the community. So there's quite a bit of fundraising to do, but we are in the phase of planning the budget and getting everything written down in terms of like paperwork, contracts, and making sure that there's some sense of security in the wall being maintained for, you know, up to 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if you have any thoughts or things planned around kind of community engagement with this work of art, because I just heard you say like workshops. I'm like, ooh, what else?
Yes. Okay. So kind of dorked out with Pat Race and I've been reaching out to various organizations that I think would be helpful and important in the role of creating this as a community event. Laura and I have been talking about making it somewhat like a mini mural festival in Juneau or Southeast. We want to correlate it around celebration of 2021. So we want to start prepping and repairing the wall in next spring, and then priming it and painting it summer of next year, when hopefully when things are different and celebration hopefully happens. So we want there to be a revealing during celebration, and we also want it to sort of be like this welcoming to the new Pacific Northwest Coast Arts Campus that's opening right by the Walter Sobeloff building. So it's going to be pretty tight having the arts campus, this new mural happening. There's all sorts of new public art that's coming up and happening. That's Juneau's going to be bumping.
I love that. I'm curious what else you're working on, because just from what I'm hearing, it's really important that this piece of art, and I'm sure perhaps your other pieces of art, really engage with important social issues. They're not just pretty things to look at, of course.
What's kind of crazy, if we're talking about my other art projects I've got going on, back in March, I was finishing my last 2 months with Robert, and then the pandemic hit, and I was like, okay, I have to come home to reassure my family and our safety and be home. And then the border of Canada literally closed the day that I left. I was like, whoa. So I made it home, and all of my shows have been canceled because I travel a lot. I do fashion shows, I do art exhibitions, show at galleries and art markets. Everything had just been canceled, and I just kind of fell into this pit where I just felt like, I'm basically a non-essential worker, but also artists have a very important role when history is happening. We have to document it, and then when movements are happening, it's really important that artists be included in that dialogue. So it was this weird feeling of hopelessness, but also this like empowerment to really push and drive my art more towards encouraging people to be public safety. I did a poster for Stay at Home, and then I translated it in Tlingit with the help of Lance Twitchell Hune. And then I also did another series of wear a mask art, and then I submitted it to amplifier.org, and it got accepted. And then it also got connected to other opportunities to show that work. I was supposed to go to London this summer. It didn't happen because of COVID, but that art piece did make it to London and was shown on the busiest street in London. So I really truly believe in manifesting something. If you really want something and you can visualize it happening, it will happen with a lot of hard work. So I've been doing that. And then I've also been designing masks for Trickster Wear. We do have new masks that just came out at Trickster Company. I've also been making a collection of indigenized masks where I'm skin sewing and beading seal fur and fish skin, all with hides and materials that I've gone out to harvest with my family. And then we have the hides tanned. I tan the fish skin and then I bead it and sew it into this beautiful mask. So I've gotten a lot of museums inquiring about those things because they're interested in documenting our history right now. And it's just kind of ironic, the whole idea of indigenized masks when indigenous people have always been into like carving masks and making masks and beading and sewing them. So I'm just trying to adapt with the time. And it's just been going really well for me. The world's been really receptive to my art. And I'm really starting to step up into the field of public art, which I'm so thrilled about because it's a art that can be shared with everyone. Life is good. I'm really blessed. I'm very privileged that I have a home. I feel safe. I can go out on my family's boat and be subsistent and get food for our family and our neighbors and also material from those animals to use in my art. So I'm very blessed.
What has been inspiring you throughout this and kind of what has been keeping your fire going? Whether it's with the project or just with your art in general.
Gosh, you know, I listen to the news every morning. I'm very sensitive to the news. It does make me very emotional. And near the beginning of the pandemic, a relative, my auntie actually got the COVID virus and didn't make it. And that was kind of spun my family and I into this dark hole because people who get COVID now we can't be beside them. And so that was kind of spun me into this really dark place of feeling sad and isolated and not like I had to stay home and there's nothing I could do about it. I think after 2 weeks of just sleeping, I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. I need to do something. I need to make art that's just gonna push this and express what I'm feeling, my frustrations, and wanting to be able to do something and have an important role in society right now when I have to stay home. And as an artist, like I make work from home already. I stay home already. I'm already pretty introverted. The only reason I'm extroverted is when I have to go out and sell my art, which I can't do. So I was like, oh, I've done this before. I can do this. So from that, I was thinking about my aunt and what a beautiful person she was and how creative she was with her cooking. I've definitely amped up my cooking. but in her light, I just felt inspired to be creative and create something in her light. So that's just kind of channeled my energy from the beginning and it still feeds me. And then with everything happening in the news with the Black Lives Matters and the COVID pandemic and UFOs, I'm like, there's so much material for me to work with in terms of what's going on, in terms of documenting our time. And I think as an Indigenous woman, it's really, I have an important role of standing up and speaking and saying, okay, we need to see this happen. We need to see a mural of Elizabeth Prodovich happening. And the timing is now. So there's so much inspiration I get from other artists as well. I don't know if I answered the question.
You totally did. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm glad to hear that you're able to find a lot of nourishment and fire from so many different sources right now, because it is so hard out there. It's so hard right now.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely heavy, and it's I'm really blessed to have my family to be there for me and believe in my vision being an artist. My family's always believed in me being an artist, even before I knew I was going to be an artist. So I'm very lucky.
Is there anything else you would like to share with listeners today before we kind of close out?
Gosh, you know, I'm really excited for this mural project and the Rasmussen, and congratulations to the other awardees. I'm really stoked to see familiar names on there as well. and everyone support Indigenous and Black artists. Now is the time.
Now is the time. One more thing, because I forgot. Where can people kind of find your artwork or just like keep up with what you're doing and what you're creating?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So you can shop at, my brother Rico and I have a shop called Trickster Company. We are an innovative Indigenous graphic design and art gift shop. We have masks, basketballs, skateboards, athletic wear, children's books, all sorts of fun items that my brother and I design. Those are all available. We have an online shop at www.trickstercompany.com. Some of you might have been into our physical shop downtown. FYI, we did close down the physical shop, but partially due to COVID, but also because we outgrew the space. And when the time is right, we will expand and find a bigger space to grow. So for now, we are online, trickstercompany.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well under Trickster Company. And if you're interested in following my outdoor adventures, the process of, you know, skinning and tanning and my art process and what I'm up to, you can follow my Instagram at Crystal Whirl. Yeah. Thanks for following.
And thank you again, Crystal, for joining me on the show today. It was really lovely to meet you and hear your voice. Thank you.
Thank you.